Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Social Circle once again. It's been a while, but I'm your host, Big Drink. I'm still here. I ain't going nowhere. It's time to stay social while being socially distant, of course. 6 feet. 6 feet. Yep. I'm here with my good friend, the sports expert, the one and only Old Greg. Introduce yourself.
I'm Old Greg.
There you go. You heard him. And you already know my name. I already said it, but I'll say it again in case you don't know my name. My name is motherfucking Big Drink, the one and only. And we're over here talking. We're going to talk a little bit of Boston sports, a little bit of the tragic loss that we had over the weekend. Old Greg and I are two Boston kids, and someone really close has passed on over the weekend. Probably the worst news you could ever hear on Halloween. Jerry Remy is by far the best broadcaster of all time for the Red Sox. Adios, amigo. We love you. And he put up one hell of a fight. He was in the middle of his seventh battle with lung cancer, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, just going through what he went through, you know, with his family, everything that happened, Jerry Remy will always be my favorite broadcaster. I remember as a kid, watching every Red Sox game, listening to his voice, you know, he would just make the game special. Like, whether we won or lost at Fenway or wherever the hell we were, Jerry Remy was a hell of a guy, you know. And he went through a lot. So, Jerry, from the bottom of my heart, on behalf of the Social Circle, on behalf of everyone, every Red Sox fan around the fucking world, thank you, Jerry, for fighting. Like, so those who don't know, so I work security, and like the last time I saw Jerry Remy's face was, you know, I was at work and I seen him throw the first pitch at the wild card game against the Yankees. And honestly, it was great to see him, you know. Like, when I heard the news that he was stepping away from the broadcast booth, Jerry, your seat would never be taken, Rem Dog. Which leads me to my next point. There's a lot of Red Sox fans out there who are wanting to change the name of Jersey Street. Change it to Jerry Remy Way. I agree. Put my name down there. Put my name as Big Drink. Put my name as whatever the fuck you want to put it as. Jerry Remy Way is way better than Jersey Street. No disrespect to Yawkey Way, but change it up. Put Jerry Remy Way, Rem Dog Boulevard, Rem Dog Avenue, Remy Avenue, whatever the fuck. Just put, give him something. Jerry, we love you. And I'm going to ask Old Greg here his favorite Jerry Remy moment. But my favorite Jerry Remy moment is every game. Dude, every fucking game, like, especially when his colleague. I forget the guy's name. Who was the guy's name that like was with him for a minute? If you guys know, I think it was like David something. I don't know.
I think it was Don Orslow.
Thank you. Don Orslow would always say, oh, and if you want to hear this game in Spanish, hit the SAP button on your on your remote. And Jeremy would always say, buenas noches, amigos. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, I'm going to tell you, but like my number one all-time favorite broadcaster is Jerry Remy. Second is John Miller, because John Miller is entertaining as fuck. But Jerry Remy, he at least knows what the fuck he's talking about. You know, being a former player, being a former Red Sox player, former, you know, Los Angeles Angels player back when they were the California Angels, if I'm not mistaken. I just asked this for the Red Sox, to the owner, to the players. Retire his number. Just honor him. And for the Los Angeles Angels, retire his number as well. This is a young man, you know, Fall River, Mass. Massachusetts own. He was one hell of a guy. And just hearing his voice in the booth, like, whether we were winning or losing, whether we won or lost a game, he was always there. Even though he didn't win a championship while he was playing in the game, he's a champion. He's a five-time champion. Come on now. Let's be real. Let's be real. Four-time champion. Sorry. Because after he left the Angels, he came along with us. Didn't win a championship. Okay. But he deserves the four rings that the Red Sox has won from 2004 to now. But God rest his soul. We love you, Jerry. We love you, Rem Dog. Thank you for the memories. I will say this. That's the worst news to hear on Halloween. Switching gears before I start crying on this podcast for the first time ever. Oh boy. I mean, speaking of the Boston Red Sox, yeah, okay. They got eliminated. They got eliminated by the Houston Astros in the ALCS game 6. They just couldn't score. I don't know what the hell happened there. But I will tell you this, that there's a lot of rebuilding that needs to be done. If Alex Cora wants to keep his job, there's a lot of rebuilding that needs to be done. I'll say that. But I will say congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves haven't won a championship since 1995 when they beat the Cleveland Indians. And the reason why I emphasize that is because I made a mistake in my previous episodes, and I said, oh, the Braves haven't won a championship since 1995 against the Yankees. I forgot that, no, the Yankees weren't even in the World Series that year. I made a stupid-ass mistake. I apologize. I try to do the best I can here, all right? I'm a rookie here, all right? Just, you know, chill. Congratulations to the Atlanta Braves, and they have had one hell of a fucking year. My God, is it fair to say, old Greg, like, they had one hell of a year, dude.
They really did have one hell of a year.
You know, Hank Aaron passing away, I feel like that was their motivation. Just like, you know, and that reminds me a little bit of last year, 2020, when the Lakers
lost Kobe.
When Kobe passed away last year, that was their motivation to just keep winning. And that's what Kobe was famous for, winning. And they won the big dance against the Miami Heat. Personally, I wish, and this is coming from a Celtics fan myself, I wish they would have beaten the Celtics instead of the Miami Heat, who shouldn't have even been in the NBA Finals in the first place. You know, from what I've seen that entire season. One hell of a fight. One hell of a fight they put up. And so but yeah, that was their motivation. Hank Aaron's passing, a legendary Brave, they did it for him. You know, even though the Lakers don't want to admit it, the Lakers did it for Kobe. Go ahead.
I'll make you one too.
Thank you. Old Greg here is gonna make me a drink. I was gonna make myself one, but go ahead. By all means.
Drinks.
A drinky poo.
I'm not a drinky poo, Ryan Bruce.
Before, you know, we jumped on this episode, we were talking a little bit about who is the Mount Rushmore for Boston sports? And the reason why I say Boston sports is because, obviously, I'm a Boston sport kid. But don't worry, because, you know, I know there's probably a lot of you that, or I don't know, but there may be a few of you or a lot of you that don't live in Boston or are not Boston sports fans. We will talk about who is the Mount Rushmore for the four major sports in the world, really.
North America.
In North America. That's what I meant.
Yeah, after that, I think we should talk a little bit about sports rivalries for at least North America.
I would love to talk about it.
Why don't we do this? We should do a top 10 of the best rivalries in North American sports.
I've got a good list. Shit. I don't even think I have that good of a list, but I could try. I could try.
I got a great one.
But let's talk. All right, Boston sports. The four major sports in Boston. So we're talking Bruins, Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox, Mount Rushmore of the top four major sports in Boston. Old Greg, take the wheel.
All right. First, I'm going to go with the oldest team in the city. Not flagship. I'm going to go with the Boston Red Sox. And for Boston Red Sox, I'm going to go with Ted Williams. He had a long career. He was a veteran of two wars. Had to be ordered by his commanding officer to attend spring training. As much as any of you would say, David Ortiz for his three rings, I'd go and put Ted Williams. He was the best Red Sox statistically. He hit just about every pitcher. And he had one of the best. He's arguably one of the best baseball players not named Babe Ruth. For the Patriots, I'm going to go with the most obvious choice. I'm just going to say Tom Motherfucking Brady. Six-time world champion, three-time AFC champion. Most passing touchdowns and yardage.
Two-time kiss ass.
More Super Bowl, I apologize, actually seven-time Super Bowl champion. I don't like to count that seventh one because fuck Tampa Bay, but anyway. Seven-time Super Bowl champion. He's got more Super Bowls than any franchise in history. But he was the catalyst for 20 plus years in New England. He got us six Super Bowls.
He is a Super Bowl.
Six wins, nine appearances. He is the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever
will be. The best there ever will be.
No, that's Bret Hart, but anyway. Anyway, the greatest of all time, Tom Brady. Now, for the Boston Celtics, I'm going to mix things up a little bit. I'm going to Bill Russell. 11 championships in 13 seasons, including eight straight. He redefined how the center position was played.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird's my very close second, but you don't hate one of the best of all time. If you don't have 11 rings, it's enough to get you to the greatest of all time.
Bill Russell has the most rings of any NBA player of all time.
Bill Russell has the most NBA championships, and if you don't get your black ass back here... Bill Russell has the most NBA championships of any player of all time. He's a legend. And honestly, instead of calling it Legends Way, why don't we call it Russell's Way or Russell Way or some shit? Anyways, continue. I think
the thing is more because the Bruins actually, the people on the Bruins own the fucking building, sadly. That's probably the reason why, but it's legends because so many legends played at the old Boston Garden that it wouldn't. You can't just pick one of you, Johnny Bucic, Bobby Orr, Stan Jonathan, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, John Havlicek, JoJo White, Tommy Heinsohn, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish, to an extent, Paul Pierce. I think. Actually, I apologize. Paul Pierce may not have ever played at the... Paul Pierce didn't play at the original Boston Garden.
No, Paul Pierce played at the Fleet Center when it was the Fleet Center, 97.
Yeah, that was my bad. So that was my bad. Yeah, and you have Bill Ross, Larry Bird, Bobby Orr, Willie O'Ree. And shit, they, you know, so many different... You know, most of the people that were legends were Celtics, but... Hey, when the Bruins are the people that fork up the money to build the stadium, to build the arena, that's just sort of how shit goes. And last, the Boston Bruins, I'm going to break away from what's traditionally, and I'm going to go with Johnny Bucic. He would have been the he was essentially the captain of those teams that Bobby Orr was on. And the thing is that he was all... And for that reason, being the senior most alternate captain is why I'm just going to name him. Just for the thing alone was that he led the team. Mm. At that point, Bobby Orr is still one of the best ones ever. He's a very close second. I'm going to go and throw with Johnny Bucic just for the sake of another reason other than to break it up instead of just being your standard big four. I'm breaking with Tristan going with Johnny Bucic. He was basically... That Johnny Bucic was around there, Bobby Orr was the Robin to his Batman. And so that's my Mount Rushmore for Boston sports.
Okay. So, there might be a lot of arguments with my Mount Rushmore. Disagree with you want. Disagree with me if you want to. But I feel like the main guy that really helped us, and I'm going to the Red Sox here. I feel like, I don't know, like because only, oh yeah, maybe because I watched the entire 2004 Red Sox season. And even though I was just a little boy wearing boxers every time I would see a Red Sox game. But I will say, I'm sorry to say, but 2004 was one hell of a season. We had the guys, you know, even though like this man, he didn't win MVP of this, you know, World Series. But he sure as hell played a part in getting us there. And also the guy that actually won MVP of the World Series, he played a part as well. My Mount Rushmore for the Boston Red Sox has to go with David Ortiz. David Ortiz will forever be my most favorite Red Sox player of all time. David Ortiz, he had one hell of a career. Like, in case y'all don't remember, he played for a shitty ass team that literally didn't really put him out there. They didn't really put him out on the field that much, in the Minnesota Twins. And they regretted that. They regretted that for the longest time. Hell, Torii Hunter regretted that in 2013. The ALCS, he's like, holy shit. Like, when he flipped over the fucking... Oh, my God. Do y'all remember ALCS? That game, what was it? Game 2? Or game 3? When he flipped over the bullpen and that cop was like...
Steve's... I forget the dude's name. It was Steve something.
I know you were talking... Yeah,
I have a picture with him from Red Sox Amateur 2017. But I actually remember watching it as it unfolded. That weekend when my cousin and I got married, my invite was actually law. He brought to invite me or whatever it is by... time he realized the mistake, I'd already made plans that there was that I was in the middle of switching jobs. My initial job required me to work weekends, and so this honestly I'm weekends off. And so it was Columbus Day weekend, I was gonna have the long weekend, and then was like just before I felt bad, and so I told him I couldn't make it because I had to work. The thing was that I was out at the Irish Festival that day with some people. A friend on, and I met some new friends shit that day, and then so I was watching the Red Sox, so they were getting murdered, and I was just like, ugh, I actually gotta change the channel for a bit. My parents came in after the wedding, and I was like, yo, the Red Sox, like, and not too good last night as well, but you know, let's turn it on and see if maybe they start to do a little better. So my dad starts walking up the stairs and get changed. David Ortiz comes off the bat, hits a fucking grand slam before he even finishes up the show. I'm like, yes! That's what I was like, he just hit a grand slam. We fucking got this. Pause, whatever he was, is changing and everything out of his friggin' form. I was like, screw it, I'm gonna sit here and watch the end of this game. Then we sat there, enjoyed the thing, and then we called it. Yeah, whatever. I remember the full enthusiasm of Torii Hunter, Big Poppy getting up to plate and just hits the grand slam. And that was why it was fucking amazing. It was just like, I turned the air off a little. I was like, yeah, they're not doing well, like this thing. And then I said, you know what? Turn it on. Let's just watch the end. Maybe something will happen. I'm so happy I did. I remember there was a time where I just paused it for a moment and then came back to it. Otherwise, I probably would have missed out on one of the coolest moments in Boston sports history.
And I'm gonna, you know, similar to that, like, literally the same shit, dude. Like, fucking David Ortiz was on the Minnesota Twins, you know, from 97 to 2002. Torii Hunter. Torii Hunter was on the Twins along with David Ortiz within that same time, you know? And it's like, you know, David was talking about in the documentary, he has a documentary, I believe I saw it on Hulu or Netflix, I forget, but he was talking about how, like, Torii was, like, his best friend. Like when they were teammates, but before they were teammates, him and Pedro Martinez were best friends. So when Pedro found out, when David had called Pedro and said, Yo, Minnesota, you know, the Twins, they released me. He was like, what? Oh, hold on. I'm going to call you back. He made phone calls. He got, like, Pedro got David onto that team. And I'm sorry, but the things that David has done for this fucking city, man. Like, this is his fucking city. He doesn't really talk much about Minnesota, where he started. And you know a lot of things that, and oh Greg, and I know you can agree with this. People say, no matter where you, like, just remember where you fucking came from. David Ortiz came from the DR, came from nothing, and became something when he got into the major leagues in 1997 to the Minnesota Twins. He hit it. He got his first base hit, his first home run with the Minnesota Twins. You know, he got his 500th home run with the Red Sox. If he would have kept playing, if he was physically able to keep playing, and Big Poppy, this is with all due respect, you would have been Mr. 3000. But honestly, I'm not mad at you for retiring when you did. I personally wish you stayed. But I know you couldn't do it. I understand. I understand why you couldn't do it. So yeah, David Ortiz is my Mount Rushmore for the Red Sox. For the Boston Celtics, oh boy. I'm sorry, but I have to go with Paul Pierce. You know, Paul Pierce, it was just fucking amazing, dude. The shit that he did on the court, you know, from one end of the court to the other, you know. I will say, if I was around back then to see what Bill Russell did, yeah. But if I'm actually, I should have said this better. History wise, no, I'm sorry. Like my generation wise, like from, like, you know, I was born in 97, so I was born when, fucking, you know, when Paul Pierce was on the Celtics and shit. But like history wise, yeah, I would have definitely said, definitely when it comes to history wise. I'm definitely going to go with Bill Russell. Definitely Bill Russell. Like Bill Russell is the guy that helped us do a lot. He helped us 11 championships. I mean, come on, dog. For the Bruins, everybody talks about this guy Bobby Orr. That, once again, I don't know about Bobby Orr. I'm gonna have to go with him, cause shit, you know. For the Patriots, obviously Tom fucking Brady.